Okay. As much as I dislike doing things I've done in the past, but we're starting a sefer, and, you know, we should do some of the classic things. Okay, so we're starting the second sefer of Chumash, amazingly. Shmot. So a few things that are worth noting as we move into an introduction, okay? The Ramban has a little introduction here. He says, "Hishlim haKatuv Sefer Bereishit, Shu Sefer Yitzira veChidush HaOlam, Yitzirat Kol Notzar, Ulemikrei Avot Kulam, Shem Kinyan Yitzirat LeZaram." Right, we finished Sefer Bereishit, which is the book of creation. The Avot, V'mnei Shekol Mikreim Tziurei Dvarim, Lirmoz Lodia Kol Atid Lahem, V'achare, and we tell these stories. This is very key for the Ramban because it prefigures. That's a bit more of a Christian word, but okay. It sets in motion that which will happen to their kids. And after we finish that, we go to Shmot. When the book is about, what is the theme? Galut, Gula. Therefore, we start with that which already was mentioned in Bereishit, which is listing all of the people who came down to Egypt. Now, that's already an important methodological point, right? Which is, what is the Ramban assuming? What is implicit in this? And the Ramban says this at the beginning of every sefer. Is that each sefer is a thematic unit. Right? There's a theme of the book. And therefore, the same story may be told twice for different thematic reasons. Because what's he saying? Right? What he's saying? He's saying, listen, there was a function of the list of all the Jews, of all the children of Yaakov, in Bereishit. But Shmot is a different book. It's about Galut and Geula, and the Jews who went down to Egypt, that's part of the story of Galut. And therefore, it had one role in Bereishit. It has another role here, right? So it's not just that the books are contiguous, right? It's that they're each thematic, right? Which you should note, because they're not actually contiguous historically, right? The strongest example, as we'll see, all the way at the end, but there's one event that is told three times. Once in Shmot, once in Vayikra, once in Bamidbar, that happened on the same day, and it's told from three different angles, right? And that is the Chanukat HaMishkan, right? Which is how Shmot ends, but it's also in Vayikra, and it's also in Bamidbar. So what is the theme? So the theme, as he notes, is Galut and Geula. Now that works for the first four parashiyot, but he says, okay, so then how do you explain the whole sefer? Yeah, I mean, that explains the first several parshiot, right? So he says, well, v'inei galut einenu nishmam ad yom shuvam yom lekomam al-malat avotam yashuvu. So he said, galut isn't just, right, they were in Egypt. In order to have the geula, they also need to return to the level of their parents. Right, they need to return spiritually. And therefore, and therefore they're still in Galut as long as they're in the Midbar. And he said, so Har Sinai is part of the story also because it's the spiritual geula. Right, they need to get the Torah because until then they are in Galut. And then he says, okay, what about the second half of the book? So the Ramban consistently believes that the Mishkan is the continuation of Sinai. Right, that it's a mini Har Sinai, which we'll get to more when we get to Parshat Truma, but it's the continuation of Sinai, that God's presence continues like it was at Sinai in the Mishkan. And therefore the Ramban, and again, this is consistent for the Ramban, which is that books have themes. And therefore, for him, the theme of the second sefer is Galut, Geula. And the fact that the book also includes Matan Torah and Mishkan tells you that redemption doesn't just include physical redemption, it includes spiritual redemption, which you might think ends at Sinai, but it's not true, because if Sinai ended then, right? Then, and God didn't continue to be with the Jews in the mini movable Sinai, then they wouldn't have full Gula. And therefore, the Ramban strings together the entire book. And he says, this is the book of Galut and Geula, physical and spiritual, right? Which takes us, Breshet to, Shmot to Bishalach is the physical, Yitro getting the Torah, right, Amishpatim, and then Truma to the end is the building of the Mishkan, which is the continuation of Sinai to ensure that God is among us. And all that is necessary for it to be defined as Geula. That's one introductory point in Shmot. Another point is, okay, so this is the theme of Shemot. How does it connect to the theme of Bereshit? Because as the Ramban already notes, well, we have the same story which is told in both, which indicates a connection. But what is the connection? So this is, right, Chaim Angel puts it, I think, very well, which is, here's the major question in Shemot. Bereshit is the story of the ideal world in which God chooses all of humanity. Right? In which God chooses all of humanity. God tries that twice. Adam, and then Noah. It doesn't work. So God switches to choosing a family. Right? Right? Avram.
It'd be a family.
Right. And Shmot ends up telling the story of how that family turns into a nation. Right? Okay. The million-dollar question is, when God switched tacts, was it changing strategy, right, or changing goal? Meaning, was it that God originally said, listen, I'm going to choose all of humanity, and then God gives up and says, forget humanity. Forget it, I'll just go with the Jews. Right? Or is it that, no, God said, I want all of humanity to know me, but directly going to the whole world is not going to help. So what I have to do is choose a nation that's going to represent me, and through them I can educate the world. Meaning, it's a choice, it's a change of strategy rather than a change of goal. I mean, God still wants the whole world to serve him. Right? That's a question you need to ask when you come to Shemot. Now, there are certain very key indications that the latter is the case. Right? I'll just throw out two. One, for those of you who had Agarata, but the fact that Shmot Va'era, what does God consistently say the purpose of the Makot? So that Parah will know God. Right? So right off the bat, you have this, by Bo, it's not that way anymore. But there seems to be this constant refrain that we want Parah to understand, which seems to indicate that God hasn't given up on everyone else. It's just he's changed how he's going to do it. The second is that at the critical moment of Matan Torah, how does God describe what the role of the Jews is in the world? So, angel said, I heard this from our angel at the Bayit. He was called residence. And he gave this here, right? And he said, and what does that teach? So he said, what that pasuk teaches is the following analogy, which helps you understand the whole Torah, which is the Jews are to the world as Kohanim are to the Jews. Right, that's what it's saying. Vatem tiuli, mamlachet kohanim, v'goy kadosh. You will be kohanim. So that means that you to the world has to be what the kohanim are to you. And what are the kohanim?
Oh, man.
Teachers. Yerum ish v'dechel Yaakov, right? Their job is to teach. Right? It's the whole Sheva. Right? Right? But that means that that at Matan Torah we're told, not that I choose you alone, but I choose you to be Kohanim. And Kohanim, like the entire Shevet Levi, have a role of teaching and helping other people function spiritually. Right? So that's a very strong indication that the transition from Shemot to, from Bereshit to Shemot is not one, right, is telling you how God is now going to accomplish educating the world, not replacing the world with the Jewish people, but using the Jewish people to educate the world. Right? Now, that may be a messianic vision. It may not have, right, day-to-day implications, right? Or you can argue about how that's going to manifest itself day-to-day. But understand that the connection of Shmot to Bereshit is one of a change of strategy, right, rather than a change of end goals, right, is important. The third thing to note, right, which indicates the strong connection between Shmot and Bereshit, which forces you again to ask the point, is that, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow, but I'll just throw it out there, is that much of the language at the beginning of Shmot parallels the language in the creation story, right? Which seems to be further drawing your attention to the fact that Shmot in many ways is a new Bereshit. In this case, it's a creation of a nation, right? Things like, right off the bat, language like Paruva Yishasuva Yerbuva Yatsmuva Ondaod, right? This Puruvu language, with Moshe's birth, right? You have the language of Vayar Kitov, right? You get a lot of these very bracious language at the beginning of Shemot. So it does seem to be a new creation, which again forces us to ask that same question, which is, it's a new creation because the first plan for the world failed and we started again, or because we're trying to achieve the same goals as creation in a different way, right? Every time you have a connection like this, you need to ask, what is the conclusion you're supposed to draw? But the connections are supposed to at least draw your attention to that. Okay, those are three introductory points just to think about as we move into Shemot.